Some people might just say, well, get appropriate material up front. It really depends on the transaction you're doing. If you're dealing with a broker, yes, it's really easy to get a lot of this information. But when you're dealing with off market with a seller, which we were on our most recent deal, you're not necessarily going to be provided with that.
If you have over $200,000 sitting stagnant in your bank, retirement account, or home equity, then you're literally losing money. On this show, you learn how to get that money working for you consistently and conservatively. Learn to grow your nest egg with your host, Sean Winslow. Let's dive in.
Hey guys, this is for this week's Multifamily Monday episode. Sorry I've been missing, but I'm ready to get back at it. All right, let's do it. Welcome back to another Multifamily Monday episode. I'm your host, Sean Winslow, and this is the Multifamily Money Podcast. What is going on, everybody? You know the drill. Coming at you with all things multifamily real estate investing on this fine Monday. It's been a little while since I've been on here. Took a little hiatus, mostly just to kind of recalibrate the show and get some high quality guests, high quality topics on here. And that's what I've got lined up for you. I wanted to not just bring on a voice just to have someone on and check off that box for the week. And I didn't want to just come on here and talk about stuff solo, just check that box. I wanted to bring not only quality guests, but quality content that could provide value to you all. And I believe that's what I've done. I've got some phenomenal guests lined up right out of the bat, right out of the gate, excuse me. First one will be next Monday, which happens to be the 200th episode of the podcast. Pretty cool milestone. And to celebrate bringing on a special guest, returning guest, especially a special guest to me, one of my mentors in this business. So it'll be fun. So it was a great episode, brings a lot of content, a lot of valuable content that anyone could implement in any business they may have, not just multifamily real estate investing. But yeah, guys, I'm really excited. Got some great solo episodes lined up as well, because I think that's important. It's great to come on and hear successful people's story, how they got there, what they're doing today. Obviously, that is impactful and that can be used. You can take actionable steps from that content. But I think it's also important for me to come on here and share timely topics, either from what I've heard from experienced people I know in my circles, what I've implemented, what I've done, and just the research I've done on these topics that I think are important. So, all right, that was a long-winded opening here. But as always, guys, if you do get value out of this, it would mean the world to me if you would share this with someone else you think could also get value, because that's how this show grows. And I'm on here to help people, meet awesome people, connect with amazing people. And the way to do that is to get it out to more ears and eyes. So if you get any value from this, please do share. Don't do any type of advertising promotion to do it. And that's just how we do it. And also, if you haven't left a rating and review, I would be honored if you did that as well. All right, guys, today is going to be a quick one. It's a topic when it comes to getting under contract on a deal. And I think it's very important, this topic, in today's climate, when there's just so much change happening at a moment's notice, from rates changing, lenders' appetites, terms, what's happening in the world. There's just a lot of risk and a lot of uncertainty, a lot of moving parts. When things are going good, anyone can look like a rock star, right? Everyone wants to do business. There's plenty of capital, both from an equity and a debt standpoint, and everyone's just in a better mood and things tend to go the right way. On the flip side, when things are not so great, people have there's trepidation, right? There's uncertainty. They really want to make sure they have all the I's dotted and the T's crossed, right? And that appetite is not what it once was. And so I think this topic I'm about to talk about is very important in this market. And so there's a strategy used when we're writing a purchase and sale agreement. And what that strategy is, and it's not to be tricky or shady, it's to incentivize the other party to do what you need them to do to be able to transact effectively and efficiently on a timely manner, which is what everyone wants. And so what we do is we implement when our due diligence period starts. Now, most contracts would say you sign that purchase and sale agreement, that's the clock when the due diligence period starts. And maybe you got a 15, 20, 30 day due diligence period, whatever it happens to be. That clock starts when you sign that PSA. What we do is our clock doesn't start, and I'm paraphrasing here, this is not the exact verbiage, so I don't have the exact verbiage in front of me, but essentially what it means or what it does is it says that the due diligence period, the clock does not start till all due diligence material and criteria is met and agreed upon and signed off by the buyer. Actually, guys, I do have a contract here, so I will read what it essentially says, and this is, again, I'm paraphrasing out of the contract, so it's not in full. Don't just use this verbatim and think you're covered. But specific to this, it says seller shall supply purchaser with access to tenant files and documents listed on Exhibit B attached hereto within 3 business days from the effective date, which is the seller's due diligence materials. If seller fails to deliver all seller's due diligence materials within such 3 business day period, the due diligence period shall be extended 1 additional day for each day such failure continues until the seller's due diligence materials are delivered. So essentially, you list out in your exhibit everything that you want the seller to provide. Obviously, in some circumstances, they won't have all those materials and you'd have to sign off on that. But you don't have to sign off until you believe everything that they can provide you has been delivered to you. And now a way to combat this, to get more material up front, because some people might just say, well, get the appropriate material up front. It really depends on the transaction you're dealing with, right? If you're dealing with a broker, yes, it's really easy to get a lot of this information. Obviously, not all of it, but more detailed information, like a more detailed financial when it's listed, right? But when you're dealing with off market with a seller, which we were on our most recent deal, you're not necessarily going to be provided with that, right? So instead, we write this into the contract, because on that deal, what happened was they provided us a pro forma of financials, right? And that's all they were going to provide to us at that time until we went under contract. So we underwrote it to the best of our ability based on the pro forma and the rent roll they provided. Well, once we got into contract and they started providing the materials, they provided us financials, which were very unorganized, that they must have just hit print off of QuickBooks, and it completely changed the landscape of the deal. Deal wasn't really at that point penciling for us. Our lender was uncertain, you know, about these utilities, these expenses. Why aren't they matching? They're severely off. And so then we had to go back to the seller and get more materials, which took them a long time. They had to give us detailed explanation, which we were satisfied with, of why the R&M repair and maintenance was high in these years, why these utilities, the electrical was spiking. And once all that was explained, we were comfortable. But that ate up a lot of time. I'm talking about like weeks, right? And if you're had a 20-day due diligence period, that could be, you know, real fast, and then your money's hard. And all that stuff that we had asked for was listed in that exhibit. And so we hadn't gotten the actual utility bills. We hadn't got their CapEx schedule. And all those things, if we'd gotten out of the gate, would have cleared up all those questions right out of the gate. But once we did get satisfied those questions, it was a deal. Deal was back on. But our money still wasn't hard, which was great. And then another thing happened is the appraisals came in a little under on some of the properties. So which allowed us time to our lender, talk to other lenders, talk to the sellers to see if there could be any type of negotiation, and ended up working out in our benefit. But I wanted to share this with you because we didn't have that clause. And this is all while interest rates are going through the roof, as we all know. So in a market like today, it's even more important to have this clause in there. Because if they're just going to slow play you on these things, you want to have something in your back pocket to be able to protect yourself. Instead of having $200,000 go hard after due diligence period ends and they haven't provided you all necessary materials. And this is not just for this type of market, it's for any market, right? You're going to have different type of sellers. And again, to my point, if you're dealing with a broker, this stuff is already going to most likely be prepackaged and ready to go. And if you do have a question, that broker is going to relay it to the seller really fast, and they're going to be on that seller to provide that information. Whereas when you're dealing with sellers, that's not always the case. You know, especially when you're dealing with a seller like that is in no position where they weren't obligated to sell. They didn't have to sell. Their business financially sound. They were just looking to exit some properties, take some chips off the table to put into a development they were going to pursue in a different market. They didn't have to do that, but they'd have preferred to do it that way. So when you're dealing with that type of seller, especially when they're one of the bigger players in the market, they're going to do what they want to do. And that's not always to your benefit. I think it's important to protect yourself. And that's a clause we put into all of our purchase and sales agreements. And we're going to do our job best of our ability based on what you provide. If you're not going to provide sound materials, well, our due diligence clock's not going to start until you provide what we need. And if you're not going to provide what we need, then maybe we have to walk away. That's part of the deal, right? You know, sometimes the best deals you do are the ones you don't, and you got to make those tough decisions. And this allows you to be able to make that sound decision versus having to just make it because you haven't been provided all the materials. To me, that's a tougher pill to swallow, is I got to walk away and so I don't lose this earnest money just because I haven't been provided all the materials. Maybe if I had been, it would have been a deal, versus, yes, I was provided all the materials. It's not going to work. I got to walk away, right? So guys, that's just a strategy we use. It's one I would advise others to implement. And some might argue, yeah, but to win a deal, you need to come in with a shorter duty DD. And if you're experienced, you can execute that. 100% agree. But I don't care who you are. If you don't get the proper materials, you can't execute that, at least not soundly, at least not with good steward of other people's money. You got a fiduciary duty there. And I don't think you can meet that obligation if you're not collecting all the data you need. So yes, I agree, especially in this market, any market, to be competitive, you can be competitive through terms and saying, I can execute faster. Yes, I can execute faster if you execute along with me by providing me the materials that are necessary, the access to the property that's necessary. So if you perform that in a timely manner, very fast, then I will do the same. So I think it's a great strategy that anyone can use. All right, buddy. Thanks for tuning in as always. And again, we're back at it. 2 episodes every week from this point forward. 200th episode next Monday. Cheers to another 200, right? All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in. As always, easy doesn't pay well. And instant gratification is self-destructive. So not only get there, work hard for your money, but have it work hard for you. And that way we can all achieve personal excellence, because personal excellence is how we make this world a better place. Starts with you. All right, everybody, catch you on the next one.
Hey, this is Sean Winslow. After being in the financial service industry for years and having candid conversations with good people just like you, I realized that so many of us are wanting an investment strategy that provides solid returns and consistent income without the bumps in the road. There's little known secret that your financial advisor doesn't want you to know. There is investment out there that is less volatile and the returns are stronger. Get more details by going to greenbriercg.com and clicking on the free e-report. And by the way, if this show has provided you any value, then feel free to leave an honest written review and, of course, share it with a friend who needs it. See you next week for another great show.